So now it's your turn. It's your turn. Tell me a little bit about the guitar.
So I've been, when I first got to Princeton, I started looking for people to play with, and I quickly found them, like within a week. mostly like through my friend Jamal, who's in the same building as me. He's a neuroscience grad student who we've had on the show, actually. And he's a musician, producer, and he introduced me to a bunch of other people who make music in Princeton. And a good friend of ours named Matthias has a full like setup in his basement. So we would play, you know, he's got a drum kit. So I would also jump on drums and play my electric guitar. But then, you know, within like the last few months, that's sort of like transitioned. You know, I've stopped going to the jam sessions. I've been more trying to explore just like, you know, what does it mean for me to be here in this point in my life, as opposed to always trying to be like the social guy who's, you know, always like trying to make everyone happy, trying to make everyone like feel good, you know. So I kind of like just became super, not selfish, but like, what's the word for it? Like just self-interested, you know?
Sure.
And part of that has been playing guitar on my own, you know? So I just sit at home. It's really therapeutic. I just noodle on, I don't try to learn any songs. I just explore. There's something really interesting about the guitar. If you like play it long enough, that things just start clicking in weird ways. And that's really exciting feeling when you're like, oh, if I put my hand like this, oh, I'm playing these notes. And if I actually spell them out, that means I can play this particular chord in this other way. And then that makes like the same kind of sound, but a different kind of sound, you know? And then yeah. There's like, it becomes like a puzzle, right? So that became really, like really interesting to me, how like, you know, I'm becoming, the word like better guitar player doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but like the language that the guitar is speaking is something that's like becoming more understandable to me. So I see it as like, I'm trying to say something and the guitar will either like make that easy or hard for me to say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been like this therapeutic kind of like things just make sense when I'm just sitting there and just playing a lot of just blues licks mixed in with some like Afrobeat licks and some like West African stuff that I really love. You know, very repetitive, very droney playing, you know, trying to copy in my mind some of the sound that I hear from like artists like Bombino, who I actually talked about Bombino a few episodes ago, mm-hmm. who's you know, and Vieux Farcatore and some of these like West African players who I just absolutely love, and it's been a lot of fun. It's just been like I'm really excited to save up some money and then buy a different guitar and see how that plays, you know, how that plays differently.
Mm-hmm. You know. Do you have a goal?
A goal? For guitar? No, I have no goal. It's like
it's kind of liberating, isn't it?
That's weird. Yeah, I've never thought about that. I have no... yeah.
You don't have to have a goal. I mean, I don't know. You know, not to get too zen, but like Western society seems to want to attribute having to have a goal for everything. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If I decide that for the first time in my life I'm going to put on some sneakers and run 3 miles, then yeah. Inevitably the question is going to be like, well, when are you going to do a 5K? Well, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? And that's okay, you know. Like, I'm a pretty goal oriented dude, but I do think mm-hmm. a lot of that is society where like doing this has to have a goal, right?
That's right.
And I, you know, I personally find things liberating sometimes when they don't. I mean, I love goals and I drive to them, but it is kind mm-hmm. of fun to have a thing or two in your life that doesn't require one.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, it's like, it's like, you know, I'm pretty goal driven on some things, and you know, I have like objectives that I need to meet, and then meeting them makes me feel really good. You know, for instance, like I find it much easier to read and finish a book if I say like I'm gonna do 20 pages a day, as opposed to I'm going to finish this book sometime.
Absolutely.
You know? So yep. for book reading, for a particular book, having those objectives makes it really easy. But if you ask me like, what is your goal in reading period? Like, that's a, you know, that's a really difficult question to, like, to answer, right? Like, I have no goal. I just want to keep reading, you know? I just want to keep playing. I just want to keep doing science. Like, I have no goal in my career either in terms of, like, a place that I want to end up at. Like, science is still liberating for me in that way where it's, like, I just want to do science. And just staying on this trajectory allows me to do that, you know?
Yeah, totally, totally.
Same with guitar. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, same with the – I guess that's why picking up guitar and playing is feels so good, because I'm just like, this is just a little fun thing that I'm doing right now. Like, I'm not trying to become part of a band or put out a record or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I hear you. I hear you. Where for me, it almost works in total reverse. You know, like I don't know if I view a guitar as an instrument as much as I view it as a tool. You know, and part of that is, you know, like, so for me, I think everything begins with the song and the fact that I like doing songs, and then it works backward from what do I need to make this song happen. So what I tend to do is I tend to learn guitar incrementally in very tiny amounts based on the needs of the song. Right.
Sure,
and so, you know, for stuff like metal, obviously every song has very similar requirements, but like I'm working on some metal right now. In terms of recording it and writing riffs and stuff, and it's great, and just like doing some hip hop a while ago was great. But yeah, I mean it you know, but for me a guitar is very much kind of a almost like a hammer as opposed to an instrument.
Very interesting. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
no, yeah. I don't even view it as an instrument. Yeah, that's really interesting because like I mean that means you are like you have a product in your mind or a project in your mind that you're trying to get out, and this is the way to. You know, you learn the bits that need to be learned in order to get that thing done, right?
Yeah, yeah. And again, you can go about it so many ways, right?
There's no wrong way to go about it. Yeah, and I think that's really interesting. Like I said, I mean, maybe this will all change in a few years, and I'm like, okay, I think I'm good enough to like put out a record, you know? But like at this point, it's like I don't even view the guitar as an instrument. It's like I see it as like my friend that I have like given a special place in my house. And I like have a conversation with it every once in a while between
interesting,
you know, dropping the dog off at the, you know, in its crate and like taking the dog for a walk and, you know, coming home, I'll just be like, oh yeah, for, you know, how's it going? And you know, I name all my guitars, like everyone names all their guitars and like,
yeah, yeah. You know, interesting. I don't name my guitars.
Yeah. So you're this, it's your hammer, right? Like who names
it's my hammer. Yeah. Why the fuck would I name a hammer? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know? So for me, it's like, yeah, it's like, these are like my friends and I view my records that way too, actually. Like they're, you know, they provide something more than just the sound, right? Like they have memories attached with them and they it's like having a conversation with them.
This is the story about the dragon. He bite me.
Well, speaking of that, let's bring it back to records a little bit, right? I mean, this podcast begins and ends with records. So I suppose my question for you is, do you feel any differently about records now than you did at episode zero? And if so, how?
Oh, man, I would say definitely. There's been some major changes. When we started the show, I was super hyped about 45s, right? That was like the almighty thing was the 45. And that was my angle, right? For a full year, I just did 45 episodes, you know? And slowly, and now I think pretty much dominated now. I'm fully about LPs, you know? Because back then the 45 was a way for people to like share music at a bar or a club or something. And like, you know, I just like, oh, this one song, this one break, this, you know, this one track, this is what it's about. But now I'm much more about what story is being told in the record, you know. So so that I would say that's been a major change for me. It's just like the switch from the in the format. That's been like a very clear, objective switch in my mind. Is like, what is the point of a record? You know, it's no longer just something that is for sharing publicly, but something that's for enjoying, for, you know, private enjoyment, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's been a big switch. I'm actually at a point now, I think I'm going to, you know, and my partner Ian is like, she does not want me to do this, but I really do want to downscale, my 45 collection. And just keep like, I don't know, like, I don't have to think about it more, but like, I really, really want to downscale it. And she thinks that's a terrible idea.
It is interesting you say that because I am in mid downscale of my LPs right now.
Sure. How's that going for you?
It's going good. I mean, I'm going to try my best to explain this. And I don't know how well it's going to go. So let's give it a go.
Okay.
I am pruning records. I am pruning them actually on Discogs because it's not like I really need the money.
Right.
So I don't need to run to a record store and get 10% of their value or 5% of their value. I can hold out and get 80 or 90 or 100 or even more percent of their value if the damn thing's gone up in value.
That's right.
And so, and also if I never sell it, big whoop, I'll just keep it, you
exactly.
know? So it's the whole, if I'm loving it by setting it free and it decides if it wants to stay,
right.
I'm telling it, it can go. I think that's thing number one. You know, I really took a long look at my collection and said, what do I have to have, you know? And part of this too, I think it's fair. It's another fair filter that really prompted a lot of this is we're probably going to be significantly downsizing how we live. My family and I, my wife and I, as the twins go off to college next year.
Sure.
And in doing that, so it's just going to be the three of us. Right. And so we're looking at all kinds of living arrangements.
Right.
And some of them involve just very tiny amounts of space because I am definitely more about being cash, and it's something we haven't been. So, you know, I want to be, but like to just have way more cash flow and have less living space, right? And so in a lot of cases, I'm not going to be able to have a lot of records with me.
Right.
And there will be a period in the future where I probably will have more space because the goal is to kind of really streamline and get everything set up for the twins to get through college. And then in 1 to 4 years, reevaluate and maybe move into another house. Right.
Yep, exactly.
But a very interesting filter to put your collection of anything through is, do I love it enough to pay for it to go into storage?
Yeah.
That is a great filtering question. You know, like if I love it enough to put it into storage, and yes, I'll have access to it. But I mean, if I want to listen to it some evening, I have to think about it the night before.
Exactly.
Right? And so in doing that, you know, you really get some interesting answers when you ask yourself that question.
Right.
And so a lot of the records that I'm pruning away, for lack of a better way to put it, are a lot of records that I took a chance on or a lot of records that I was told were cool. Or a lot of records that I may have thought were cool because they were by somebody else, recommended by a person I think is cool, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, you follow people on blogs, you get recommendations, you whatever. Oh yeah, this is dope. This is a great record.
Right.
You know, whatever, and you buy it. And then in some cases, I'm like, yeah, okay, it's fine.
Exactly.
So that's kind of like those are two of the big filters, and I suppose the final filter is. That a good, you know, because I love breaks, a good deal of the records have breaks on them. So like, I think something I don't mind bringing up is Italian soundtracks.
Right.
A lot of them have a dope break on one track, but then a lot of other stuff that like, I'm not super interested in. Right. And that's fine. If anyone listening here is like, you know, heresy, well, it's fine. I have the right to have my taste.
That's right.
And I know a lot of people would rather have, you know, one Italian cop soundtrack over 20 death metal records, and that's fine. I would rather have the 20 death metal records, and maybe I'll regret that 10 years from now. And you know what, if I do, I'll just rebuy it again. Mm-hmm. So, unless it's gone up a million fold in value, but a lot of these things are represses. So I do feel like I'm kind of hedging against my future self by like, whoop-de-doo, it's a repress, you know?
Right.
So anyway, so a lot of that is kind of like, you know, really asking myself, am I willing to put this in storage? And so, you know, why do I really like it because I like it? And don't get me wrong, there are some Italian soundtracks where I listen to it and I'm like, holy crap, this is amazing. And I want this in my collection forever, mm-hmm. but not all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, and again, not to single out Italian soundtracks. There's jazz like that. There's even metal like that.
That's right.
Where I bought it because I thought it would be pretty cool. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't really like this. You know, I'm going to get rid of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a beauty in downsizing, I think. It really helps you appreciate the stuff that you have, and it's like, you know, it's like taking a shower, you know, you just kind of slough off the stuff that is a part of you, but you don't really want on you anymore, you know.
Yeah, totally. And I also think a lot of it is like I'm a big believer in the cycle of collecting.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not the kind of I have gone through so many collections of things. I am always, and some people just buy stuff and keep it,
right?
And you know, bless them. But for me, I am very much an expansion and contraction kind of person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So stuff has, I have had a big expansion in stuff over the last 3 years. I'm holding my arms out wide as I say this.
Yeah.
And then over the next, you know, over the last 3 months, I've had a big contraction and expect to contract more.
That's
and
right.
There's probably a big expansion three to 5 years down the road. And I'll look forward to that as well. But I do believe in that, especially because in selling these things on Discogs or in some cases, maybe giving some to a record store, I'm putting it in the hands of someone that's going to love it more than me.
Exactly.
And that's fine.
That's right.
You know, let it go, let it flow, let those things get out there and let them get in the hands of someone else that's going to love it, you know? And again, maybe it'll make its way back to me at some point and maybe it won't. We'll all find out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know, part of this dynamic nature of collecting, I think.
Who's shaking up the brotherhood with looks that broke up Hollywood? Who's got the style that drives him wild? Beguile them, child, with your smile. They ought to name you the Fox of the Year, 'cause your attractions are perfectly clear. They ought to name you the Fox, Fox of the Year.
As opposed to hoarding, which is, you know, we've talked about before on the show.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's fine. If that's the way people like to roll, that's totally fine. But, you know, for me, I'm one or the other, you know, like this comes to eating, this comes to anything. It's like when I really focus on what I want to eat and the things I want to eat, I do great and right. and all that. And then it's like sometimes if I have one sandwich with chips, before you know it, I've had six lunches in a row where I've just eaten a goddamn sandwich with chips.
That's right, yeah. That's
right. And I'm like, what happened to the brown rice bowls with like teriyaki chicken? Why don't I eat those anymore? You know, that kind of thing. So anyway, so yeah, I mean, again, it's all good and it all kind of flows. So yeah, anyway, it's just a kind of a similar mind there.
Yeah.
But so in looking back over the podcast, were there any things as we kind of, you know, bring this all to a close, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Looking back over the podcast, what things stick out to you over the last 4 years?
Yeah, I think the beauty for me of the show itself is that it's an archive of our journey through music and specifically our journey through vinyl collecting, you know. Like, it's like, I'm a huge fan of archives and of journals and diaries and, you know, documentation, you know, even if it's just photographs. And I feel like that the cool thing for me isn't any particular moment. You know, if I feel so great about the idea of like, oh, I can go back to 2016 and view that not through my own memory, but through these episodes that I put out, you know, or like, what the heck, why was I so interested in interviewing this person at this moment? You know, what was that about? So for me, the things that really excite me about the show is the length of it, you know, the fact that we've done this for so long. And it's captured, for me, a critical transition in my life, going from, you know, finishing grad school to starting my postdoc and you know, traveling across country, moving in with my partner. Like, all of that has been captured in, you know, through a correlation with these episodes that I was doing at the same time, if that makes any sense. So that's
totally,
that's to me is like the thing I'm most excited about for the, you know, in viewing the vinyl exam as a project, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The wholeness
absolutely.
Of it. Yeah. What
sure,
about you?
Sure.
Does anything stand out to you?
One thing we've done a good job of in our season wrap-ups is talking about the specific things, right? So yeah. I don't want to rehash the specific things again. I want to try to kind of draw a larger arc. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think for me, the thing that really stands out is I look back on both of our episodes. But, you know, obviously, since I'm looking at my own content and, like you said, kind of a frequent postcards to yourself, mm-hmm. On where you were in life, right? And for me, I think what I take away the most is that I've said everything I want to say.
Right.
And if we were going to do more episodes, and that is something that you and I, you know, we've had private conversations about this, about ending the vinyl exam for a while now. You know, mm-hmm. Do we want to do it, et cetera, et cetera. And for me, it always comes down to, but I've said everything I want to say.
Sure.
If we decided to go another year, then I get the feeling that the things I would say would just be shades of things that I've already kind of broken through and said something about in the past.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
At least from a larger perspective. I mean, so many really great and revealing interviews with people with amazing collections, mm-hmm. So many conversations with interesting musicians, just so many conversations about record stores and about music,
yeah.
And about albums and all that stuff. I've had the pleasure of getting to interview so many really interesting people, and that's the stuff when I go back and listen to it that yeah. That I think I'll enjoy. And again, it feels, if you know, I don't think we had to have this wrap up episode right. For it to feel full circle.
Exactly.
It feels full circle without a wrap up episode.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And it's out there, you know, for other people also to discover. Like, I just got a message a few weeks ago about someone who they just like posted one of our episodes on Twitter, and somehow or another I got tagged in it, and they're like, hey, this is really amazing, I'm going through this entire podcast that's been sitting here and no one's told me about it. And I was like, it felt so good that someone at our podcast wrap up around that time, for someone to just now discover the podcast and then have four
totally.
Seasons of material to listen to, you know, that felt really
yeah,
incredible to
yeah,
me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, and I think that serves as a nice segue into what our plans are a little bit in terms of the vinyl exam for the future, right? So
that's
you
right.
You hinted at it at the top of the episode, but the design is, I think, from the Patreon page, mm-hmm. We have enough there to keep this going, to at least support it being online for about another year, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, our patrons have been so supportive of us, and we could not do this show the way that we're doing it without them. So because of the funding that we've gotten, we can actually keep the show running. And in that interim, we have some things that we will be working on that are not fully
yes.
dedicated to the vinyl exam will continue, I'll put it that way, but not
yes.
in the format that it's currently continuing in. So we are transforming or transitioning. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I think we've hinted at this a little bit before in previous podcasts, I think from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
But we are at least my intent is to put a lot of work in over these next couple months, especially since I'm in this eye of the hurricane as I work on a novel,
mm-hmm.
In compiling a lot of stuff into the vinyl into a vinyl exam book.
That's right.
And so I don't know where it's going to end, but I think Sama and I both have, you know, as we speak about what we were just talking about, kind of like this journey,
right.
And about how I feel that I've said everything I wanted to say, I think what's going to be really interesting and what's going to be fun is to go through the entirety of the vinyl exam and then turn that into a book.
That's right.
I think that while there are a lot of record theme books out there, I think that the things that we have covered in this podcast, the things that we've covered in our liner notes, mm-hmm. Can definitely be arranged in a way that would make a super interesting book. And I think for me, as rewarding as it is to go back and listen to 175 episodes, I think it would be even more rewarding have this phase of both of our lives and of the amazing people that we've spoken to and, you know, the ideas that we've thrown out there. It would be even more amazing to have that sitting on a coffee table somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so
I don't know.
And Sama doesn't know where this is going to end, but we know where we're going to start.
That's right.
So we are going to turn this into something and see where it goes from there. And again, my intent is to do a whole lot of work on it and see what we can do to get this thing off the ground by the end of the first quarter and take a look there.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm really excited for it. We have a lot of material already written. The thing that I really want to dedicate time to is also just the aesthetics of the book. Like my partner Jens bought a bunch of cookbooks. And a cookbook is a really interesting thing because, like, you know, you can just, you don't have to sit there and read it from cover to cover, but you interact with it in a particular way. Like, I want to cook something, and then you can either leaf through it or look at the index or the table of contents. And what I've found is that some of the cookbooks I spend a lot more time just leafing through than others. And it's purely the aesthetic, like how they're laid out, you know, what photographs are used, you know, what the fonts are, and like, and I think that to me is an art project in and of itself, and that I'm on top of the content that I'm also really excited about. So I don't want to just put out the material. I also want to put out the material in a way that you will want to, you know, pick this up on, you know, put it on your coffee table and then actually interact with it, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the space we're in. I think now's a good time to mention that. You know, again, this is just a formative thought. We know kind of the North Star that's guiding us here, but mm-hmm. we don't know what shape it's going to take. We don't know where this journey is going to take us. We're looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. But something that we did want to mention is the wonderful Patreon people that have supported the vinyl exam over the years. You will have a front row seat to it, and we will definitely look to repay your generosity.
That's right.
With a lot of things that tie to this book.
That's right.
As we go along, and then we'll just kind of go from there and see. So we feel we owe you and we appreciate the support, and we're gonna make good on that debt. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to, you know, give some people a shout out by name for being such huge supporters of us since the get. You know, Austell Gray, aka Zero System. You know, Ben Leck from. My homie Ben Leck. I haven't talked to him in a while, but he's been such a major supporter of it. Yeah, you got to meet him, right?
Ben Leck of the one lost to the Audio Gods episode of Vinyl Exam that never made it.
That's right. Yeah, there was
the one we recorded at Vamp Records. So right. Yeah, you know, that was a bummer, but he was there.
Yeah, Ben's such a sweetheart, you know. And Janine Cuevas, you know, Yan Wong, Brian Siebold, Ashley Smart, Adam Dietz for hooking me up with interviewing the Bizzle, which we just did a few episodes with.
Yeah.
My friend Corey, John, Karuna, Kat, Marito, Meryl, my man Muzzy, Natty, Nathead, Sam, Stephanie, all of you, thank you so much. Ashley Strutt, you know, all of you, thank you so much for supporting us. And you, as Keith said, you'll have the front row to this new vinyl exam, this new project that we're going into, the vinyl exam book.
I'm excited about it. It's always been an idea kicking around in the back of my head. Again, I think you could probably troll our archives and find some mentions of that. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to make it happen. And again, we're going to keep the archives up for quite a while, and while we don't promise anything, I definitely wouldn't mind throwing up an episode every now and then either. So
that's right.
Hopefully you don't want to delete us from your podcatcher just yet, and hopefully we'll make it worth your while with a little surprise every now and then. Again, no set schedule. But yeah, there just might be a day in the near future, in the far future, where one of us decides, hey, this warrants an episode and I'd like to talk about it.
That's right. Exactly. Perfect, man. I'm really excited for this, that we just announced that, you know, and I'm excited to see where this next, you know, it's like when we sat down in San Francisco and hashed out the idea for the podcast, we did not know where it was going to go. We had no clue.
Yeah. All because I was interviewing you on some giant monster stuff and noticed your rack of 45s over there, right?
That was, like,
it's crazy.
Things have made a movement to action, you know, it's amazing. Like you know, that would give us four seasons of material, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I mean, again, one last time we're really, it does carry a degree of bittersweetness to it, but it also carries a huge degree of pride and a huge degree of satisfaction. And most importantly, just a massive amount of thanks to what Sama said, to all of our Patreon supporters, to every single person who has made some time to be a guest on this show.
Oh my God. Yes.
To every single person who has listened to episodes, like, we thank you so much. And we hope you hang around for wherever this next phase of the journey takes us.
Yeah, and reach out to us too. We'll, you know, we're not disappearing.
We go. It's time for a little postscript. It's important to note that Sama and I's conversation was a couple weeks ago as I record this part of the podcast, and that Sama and I have had a conversation since, and we were kind of talking about what we can do to keep the vinyl exam around in some form. And so there's a couple quick announcements that have happened since we had that conversation. So thing number one, which kind of a review, is that we're going to keep the vinyl exam around for about a year, something like that. And we're going to keep episodes up, etc. The second thing is that we decided that we liked having these quarterly check-ins or so. So Sam and I are going to definitely have at least one new episode every quarter as we talk about status of how the book's going, what we're finding out, how life's going, all those great things. So keep an eye out for that. And hopefully, again, don't delete us off your podcatcher just yet. And then the final thing, for the people who are currently on Patreon and anyone who might like to add to the Patreon family that we're kind of part of there, Sama and I talked about it, and we felt that we wanted to open up a Slack. That's how we're going to keep the communication afloat between the two of us as we look to get this book, you know, edited, all that great stuff, get all the articles, et cetera, et cetera. And we invite you to do that. So when you are a Patreon at any level, you'll be able to join our Slack. We welcome the feedback. I think it would be great to enhance and expand the conversation that we have and go from there, because the book is obviously not intended to be a rehash of the podcast, but also have a nice chunk of new material as well. So anyway, that was the other thing with that. So again, we're going to have some quarterly podcasts at minimum, and then we're going to have the Slack available for any current or future Patreon supporters. If you want to pull your Patreon pledge, that is more than cool, man. I mean, we've gotten to the end of the steady podcast, so, you know, no harm, no foul if you decide that you want to stop being a Patreon. But if you want to hop on board or stay on board, you can kick it with us on the Slack. So hopefully we'll see you there.